Maybe it's been a dream all along. Maybe it's been all in my head. Maybe I don't even have a co-host. Maybe I've just been talking to a voice. It's the Backpack Show, where we cover all kinds of metaphysical thoughts. We wonder whether or not there is another universe out there. We wonder, is there a whole new world? Welcome to the Backpack Show today. We have an interesting, you know, we do this thing where whenever we pick who we're going to have for guests on the show, we juggle them. It does never matter because we know we're going to find some kind of, I can't think of my own word, alchemy. We have an alchemy between them. But, you know, I wanted to talk today about surviving stage 3 testicular cancer and what it teaches you if you go into, I think, 2 comas that last more than a few weeks each and lots of life-threatening death. And a pink flamingo party company that makes balloon installations and all that. You know what goes great together? Death and flamingos. That's what we got coming on the Backpack Show today. Elizabeth is here. So glad to see you. I always want to know what's in that cup. Hey, Lauren, good to see you, buddy. Lauren had me on his show the other day. This is my mother, Diane Brogan. She is married to my biological father, Steve Brogan. They are my parents. So they're going to be here at the show, and they're going to, I guess, help keep me straight, like hopefully all of you are, to let me know when I mess up for not having my co-host, who maybe I just imagined her.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Ah, what an experience. Imagine showing up in the same hallowed halls as Sir Mix-a-Lot and Butterscotch, the beatboxer. Well, hey, Linda, good to see you. How's everything? Everything working okay over in your side of the world? Hope you're doing well. Bonjour, Carol. I'm running the show today, so we all know what that means. Nothing's going to work. I'm going to do a couple ad reads before we get going. If you want to check out the old episodes of the show, thebackpackshow.online exists because of the people at Dot Online. Go to cbrogan.me/online, and you get 90% off a domain. So if Ashley wants to make a new pink flamingo balloon company, party company thing, she could just get it for Dot Online for 99 cents for the first year anyway. We have a podcast, so if you think I'm unattractive, you can go to the audio podcast instead. We publish it through a service called Castos, castos.com. You can get your own podcast set up, but it runs everywhere that you can find a podcast, iTunes, Blueberry, Blackberry, Waterberry, something. That's it. That's it. I'm just going to do 2, and then we'll pick up some more later on. So I don't know, do you start with balloons or do you start with cancer and death? I don't know. I think it's tricky. I think, you know, the one side, you know, how do you follow someone that's not feeling so well or, you know, almost dies a few times-ish? Or, you know, do you start peppy? I don't know. Hard to say. So I'm going to figure it out. By the way, we never know which guest is going first, too. Hey, Dylan from Texas. Hey, how's life in the tundra? How's life in the tundra? You know what would save me from all this? Oh, it's coffee with cinnamon almond milk. You know what would save me from this a lot? Is having a co-host.
Hello.
Fresh off the keynote stage, Kerry O'Shea Gorgone. How are you?
So good. I missed you.
I missed you. Boy, your guests miss you like you wouldn't believe. Those poor people. But I've got them fooled into thinking I'm nice, so we're on a good start.
No, what's fun is kicking off a day-long conference by talking about law. I recommend it.
What were they thinking? Well, now I know who my first guest is going to be because I was saying I cannot decide who I want to have for a first guest. And I was like, do I go with like surviving cancer or do I go with balloons? But if you started your conference with law, we're going with cancer.
So okay.
I'm going to grab Matt Odie. Sorry, I was touching all the buttons before.
I know. You're a button toucher.
If you are new here, like Dylan was, make sure you say hi because I don't know if you're here otherwise. This is like Fight Club. And Debbie is also in Texas as well. Matt Odie, welcome to the show. How you doing, pal?
Chris, Kerry, how's it going?
Hello.
Let's start with the easy question. You're pretty much in a good physical health space right now, yes?
For sure, yep.
Okay. You... I know you because you reached out, and a lot of people reach out. We always just go, lovely, and delete. But you went through some real tough stuff. What's the thumbnail you give on stage before you start spurting out all your awesome wisdom? What's the sketch of some of the most horrific parts of your whole life boiled into a minute?
Yeah, honestly, so I'm 29. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. You know, at 24, I was diagnosed with stage 3C testicular cancer. The night before, I was puking up blood. They rushed me to the emergency room, found out I lost 2/3 of the blood circulating in my body, which was actually equivalent to being shot with a gun. They rushed me into an emergency surgery. Found out that they first thought it was an ulcer, found out that it was an 11 centimeter tumor the next day, rushed me to the Cleveland Clinic, and that's where I was diagnosed with the highest stage of testicular cancer. And immediately I was put on chemotherapy. I was put on what's called BEP. It was very intense, lost all my hair, very fatigued, nauseous all the time. And then after chemotherapy, where I thought, hey, things are starting to, you know, look a little bit brighter, it actually kind of took another, you know, setback. And that's where they ended up having to do an 11-hour surgery to remove my tumor. And, you know, I had a lot of complications. As you said, I was in the ICU for over 40 days. I went into a two-week non-induced coma with kidney and liver failure. I went to cardiac arrest a week after I was out of my coma, going into another one-week coma. I had five surgeries in 30 days. Dropped down from 185-pound personal trainer to 110 pounds in less than 8 months, and had to completely relearn to live my entire life and learn to walk and everything all over again. It was like a complete reset. But
is that all?
That not even all of it, but to make no. It 1 minute nutshell, I figured I'd throw it all at you. But today, 4 years later, I literally went to my checkup on Friday, and I was now, you know, officially, after I talked to my oncologist, 4 years cancer free. So,
wow.
You know, this is a good week. So I'm excited and pumped and ready to spew a lot of positivity. You know, I know there's a lot of negative, but when it comes to negativity, there's also a lot of good and a lot of lessons that can be, you know, made out of it as well.
There are so many things to ask you, but as you alluded to, I only gave you a minute. So you had to skip one of the other comas, you know.
You say skip?
Yeah, I told him, just tell me a little bit of stuff. And there's more to this. Like, I
feel
guess
chipped.
So Matt, you think you're clear the first time through, which was 40 days in the ICU, a coma, all kinds of surgeries, all the worst things. And then you think you're clear and then you're not. What was the not moment? And the only reason I want to talk about this is because, holy cow, if you can speak motivationally, who can't?
Yeah. So here's how it kind of went down. So I had my major surgery. I'll break it down and, you know, maybe go a little more in detail here. So I had my major surgery to remove my tumor that was growing in my small intestine. After the 11-hour surgery, my stomach actually had a ton of swelling in it. And what caused it was when they took out, the tumor was wrapped around what's called your inferior vena cava, which is basically a central vein that goes from the bottom of your upper body to your heart. And after that, that's where all the complications came. I had 7 liters of fluid that they had to drain out of my stomach. And that's what caused me to go into my original 1 week coma. After that, I was in the ICU. 1 week out, I had a catheter in my neck and in my chest. And they thought I was going to be on dialysis the rest of my life. So they go to take out, they see I was making some progress. So they go to take out the breathing tube and they go to take out one of the catheters in my neck. And this literally, Chris, this literally is less than a 1% chance where you have some type of arrhythm heartbeat and an unfortunate event happen when they go to take out a catheter. I was at 0.001% chance, of course. So they end up having to do 8 minutes of CPR on me. I forget which code it is, like a blue code or something like that.
The bad kind.
Yes, the worst kind.
Yeah.
Every ICU nurse comes flooding in to pretty much, like, you know, save my life. And my parents, literally, my parents and my girlfriend at the time, who are saving grace, were downstairs because they're like, yeah, this is an easy procedure. We'll be done in 5 minutes. They're just going to grab some lunch. They come back up and there's just nurses and doctors and everything everywhere. And I coded and, you know, basically they had to seduce me into another week coma. So for me, I didn't really know until I woke up, which was actually Valentine's Day. And I had all these flowers and everything, and I go to move and I can't move my fingers. I can't move my hands. And that's when I learned, I was like, I have to literally relearn to live my life again. So that's
what a drama queen. What a drama queen. You know, they go downstairs to get a sandwich. They go down to get a sandwich. Boo! You know,
if only you knew. I feel bad for them because I was so drugged up. I probably didn't know half the stuff that was going on, but for them to have to go through that mental and emotional journey, I don't even understand. So
it's kind of crazy. So then some more amount of time happens, some rehab happens. You have to do even more work, you know? And again, like you said, you dumped so much weight and that you didn't really have to dump. I mean, you probably could have lost five, not that much. When does it start to feel vaguely normal again? Like, when is the first day you're like, you know, I think it's okay if you don't come over to the house today. I'm just going to watch some Ninja Turtles or whatever you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, after 53 days in the hospital, I was finally released. And like you said, I was skin and bone. I was a skeleton. And I would say for the first 6 months was extremely intense physical therapy. For the first month, I stopped having those nurses and doctors that would usually hold me accountable. I didn't have them because I was finally home. And I started to go into this excuse mode. I look at life this way, Chris. You can look at it two different ways. You can say, why is everything happening to me? Or how is life happening for me? And how, and in the beginning, I was saying, why is this happening to me? I was making excuses. I was blaming other people. I was blaming God or whoever you believe in your faith. And it was getting me nowhere. And I ended up going back to the hospital for a week because I got sick and I didn't take care of myself. And as soon as I got out of the hospital, I had this discussion with Lauren, who's my girlfriend, and it totally changed my mindset. And I started looking at life as, how is this happening for me? I started looking at it as a lesson. I started looking at it as a tool to help me grow, but more importantly, use my life experiences to eventually help the next person going through a similar or difficult challenge in their life. So it took about 6 months, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, now I can like finally take a little break and realize that, you know, I'm getting back to normal. I started going to work. I started to, you know, interact with some friends again and things like that. But it takes time. And I want to let people know, if you're on this journey of whatever you're going through, don't feel like you have to have everything done today or everything done tomorrow. Take imperfect action and realize that the macro of the big, like, you know, goal that you're setting might take a little bit of time that you have to put some effort and energy in towards.
When you realized that you were sick, what is the thing that you were like, I really want to pursue this in my life and I'm worried I might not get the chance? And now that you've got the chance, are you going to do it?
Yeah, it took a long time to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. You know, as a keynote motivational speaker, I didn't do it for about 2 years. I had to mentally, emotionally, and physically take care of my body. The 6 month part was like, all right, I'm going back to work. I was a personal trainer at the time and I was a wellness instructor. I couldn't really do personal training because I was still like trying to get myself back together. But as a wellness instructor, I help companies live a healthy lifestyle. So that's what I was doing for a little while. And then as 2 years go around and I'm healing myself, you know, I'm like, okay, I didn't go through all of this to go just back to my 9-to-5 job. I just didn't. So I was like, okay, time to figure out what I knew. And you know what I did? I didn't actually get in front of cancer community groups. I got in front of entrepreneurs. I got in front of entrepreneurs because you want to know why? They take a big problem, they solve it, and then they use it to help other people. And I said, I need to get around those people. So I started getting into masterminds. I started getting into bigger groups. And as I was sharing my story, they're like, listen, man, like, I don't care if you hate speaking or not, you better get your ass on stages and you better start sharing your story. And that's how it all began, about 2 years later, though. So it took a long time to figure out where I wanted to go and get to where I wanted to be.
I'm cracking up.
Carol wants to know if you were always this positive.
Was I always this positive? No.
Yeah, like, did you used to be a dick and now you're like, I need to be nice?
Yeah, no. I was always the kid that, like, tried to find positivity, but I had a lot of anxiety in my life and I had a lot, especially during my journey with cancer too. I had a lot of self-doubt in myself, but no, I was never a dick. Cause you know what? If you're a dick, guess what? It's going to come back around to you. It's karma. It is. It's freaking karma. So anytime I do realize that I'm being, you know, mean to somebody or I'm like, you know, spewing out bad words or things like that, it comes right back to me. I swear it comes back to me that day, whether I'm stubbing my toe on something.
You're
or
so right.
And, you know, somebody's cut me off on the highway or somebody, I get a bad email. It all comes back around. So no, I've always lived life as like, what you give to the world is what you're going to receive. So
Matt, I if anyone's watching me while you're talking, I keep bursting into giggling and laughing. And it's a little odd because, you know, it's a very, very important story. And I'm laughing. Here's why I'm laughing. Because I'm imagining you coming back from basically death. And I'm imagining you going to like your wellness thing and you're at a corporate wellness thing. And you're talking, you're like your court appointed hour a month or whatever. You got to tell a whole room full of people, you know, their thing. And they're like, but it's hard to wear a Fitbit. It's hard to do my 10,000 steps. You know, I don't know if I could, you know, eat meatless Monday. And you're sitting there like, I freaking died. I'm back. And I just can't imagine you sitting there with like the most positive face in the world. Like, I know,
Think about all those people sitting there like, I literally die for this job.
Right? Like, you want to know what I would don't. Say? Is I've learned to have empathy for people. That's what I've learned. Not, you know, everyone has their own journey in life. And I don't discredit their journey because I don't judge a book by its cover, because the last thing I know is, okay, yeah, you look fine and you look healthy. Like right now, me and you were talking, I never told you anything about cancer. You'd have no freaking idea. So what I try to do is I have empathy for people. And when they're saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, I try to at least listen and understand, but I completely agree. Everything in life is about perspective. Perspective. So what cancer taught me was perspective. So when I'm going through a shitty day, I actually look back and say, I could be in a shittier day than I was, you know, than I am right now. And I try to help people through that experience. I don't judge them for it. I try to help them, because at the end of the day, like, a lot of them lack perspective in their lives. And that's what I try to give it to them. I say, listen, I don't even necessarily have to use my story. I can go back to their own story in their own head that they're making up. Half the time it's stories they make up in their head of excuses of why they aren't eating the right foods or getting to the right places or reaching that goal in their life. They're like, oh, I don't have the time, or my relationship's X, Y, and Z, or I'm so busy at work. And it's like, listen, have you ever looked at a calendar? Have you ever prioritized this? And then I break it down for them. So I try to give empathy is my biggest thing.
Empathy's a biggie. The other thing that made me laugh is, as Carrie got in, of course, she's making sure I did all the things I probably didn't do. So she typed ads and I was laughing in my head. You know, we're a rinky dink video show. Like, it's not like with something like Oprah or Ellen or something, that there's this lilting music and she can make that concerned face. And then, you know, commercials could start selling you Windex and crap like that. You know, like, I'm the same guy reading the ad. So I was really laughing about, you know, so yeah, well, you know, we left off, Matt, that you didn't, you know, the second coma. We didn't even talk about the second
Thank
coma.
Thank you for that heart-rending story. Would you like some
We're
sausage?
Sponsored by Johnsonville. Get some sausages. Send an email to Carrie at chrisbrogan.com. Matt probably shouldn't have any.
I really love it.
That's the other thing I'm laughing about. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is
Hey, you
got to
have humor. Trust me. I've learned that, like, if everything was always serious in life, like, what's the point of it? Like, you can't live life just this dead-ass serious person all the time. There's no.
Sausage.
Listen, Matt, you have a Facebook group, so I made a little link to it just because your link was like about 85 words long or something like that. But you're you know, because you have to say all the words, otherwise people won't find it in search.
Yep.
What gets done in the Facebook group?
Absolutely. So my Facebook group is for cancer patients, survivors, or caregivers. So if you've ever been impacted by cancer in some capacity, this group is for you. And the unique part about this group is there's so much support group of like, hey, I'm going through this. Can you just support me throughout my journey? Or I need to share this part of my message. But for me, which is great, don't get me wrong, there are so many great groups out there. But I said, I'm going to take this another step further. And I'm going to be that mentor for these people. I'm going to help them overcome the mental, emotional, and physical struggles that they're going through, whether it's through cancer, after cancer, or as a caregiver, and then help them figure out, because a lot of the times, this is what I would tell you, after cancer is just as much of a battle as it is during cancer. And this is why, because we have no idea. We know that we have something bigger in our life, but we have no clue where to go. And it creates a lot of stress, creates a lot of anxiety. And also another big thing is we go through this traumatic experience. And if we're not around the right people, if we're not around people most of the time that can relate, that's the problem. So for caregivers out there, the hardest part is you trying to relate to the person who's gone through cancer. Because it's like, you've never been through that experience. You don't really know their emotional journey. You don't know their physical journey, but you're trying to help. But the other person on that end can't relate to that. So I'm building a family where we can all kind of relate. And I am that mentor to bring peace and clarity into where they want to go next with their journey. Because I know 95% of them doesn't want to just live their, you can't almost, it's almost impossible to just go back and say, I'm going to live my complete normal life after a crazy experience like that. It just doesn't work. So that's what I'm trying to help people with through this group. And we have about a little over 2,000 members now. And I started it in October of 2020. So it's just in a matter of 3.5 months, just been absolutely incredible to see the growth and the love. And it's a group that I never wish I had to create, but what has been on my heart to really do.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine a lot of better places that you maybe wanted to spend your time than running a cancer group. You know, you said something in passing, and I caught it, and I'm just thinking about it. Your girlfriend at the time is how we tell this story. So we've broken up. You know, because I'm assuming you didn't say, because now she's my wife. You know, we broke up.
Oh, we did not break up.
Okay.
Sorry, I was the wrong.
Still your girlfriend. Okay. So,
oh, is she watching? No, are you in trouble?
My wife. No.
Okay.
You thought cancer was bad.
Because I was just going to ask you like a horrible question. Like, how do you dump a guy who went through all that? Like, you can't do that.
No, you actually want to hear a really cool story?
I do.
I met her on March 17th of 2016. We'd only been dating for 2.5 months before I was diagnosed with cancer. So we started dating in June. I was diagnosed in August. Went through my entire journey. And literally after 53 days in the hospital, which, by the way, she stayed every single day in that hospital. Never left unless she had to go to work. Her and my parents, those three, were literally like, you know, my saving grace. And I was released in the hospital March 17th of 2017, exactly 1 year from when I met her. And, good, you know, Lordy. There's a lot of other parts of the journey that I could share, you know, if we had time. But it was, for me, you know, I'm faith-based. I believe in God, but not pushing faith on anybody. But I just want to say that I really feel like she was an angel brought down for me, because it was just, there's things that you can't explain. And it's just like, when you can't explain things, that's where, you know, my faith comes into play. So mm-hmm. she was my saving grace for sure. So
love it. Good. Phew. Better.
Why do you ask that? I was prepared to just let it lie.
I ask all the worst questions. That's my favorite thing. Really to do.
No, get down in it. I love it.
Matt Odey, one thing I was thinking about too is that Derek Halpern, just a guy I know, just was talking about how Jesse Itzler, successful entrepreneur, yep, maybe a billionaire, his wife's a billionaire. He was saying about how he hates hanging out with business people, and what he'd rather spend his time. He was in Clubhouse and he was saying, I'd rather spend my time asking that guy how you learned how to hold your breath for 6 minutes. So it's clear he'd want to sooner hang out with you. So it's, you know, it's a match made in heaven. You got to get around Jesse Itzler, I guess.
I have to. Yeah. I think the guy you're thinking of is Wim Hof or whatever his name is. Yeah. Jesse. Yeah. I met him. I only got to meet him for like 2 minutes, but I met him like about a year and a half ago in an event. Really didn't get to talk much. It was more just like a signing thing, but when he speaks, man, it's awesome. He's a very enthusiastic person with a crazy story. So.
And he didn't even die a bunch of times though, man. You got him.
That's like in front of him, man. I don't know if you've ever heard his thing about time. I think that is an awesome analogy. You know, we don't have to go into it, but his analogy on time is like mind blowing when you listen to it. So if you don't know who Jesse Itzler is and you're watching this, go look up his like analogy on time, and it's going to give you some perspective of like, listen, if I'm starting to, you know, feel shitty because of these little things today, you know, I better get my ass in gear and, you know, once again, perspective, start doing some things that are scary, because we only have a limited time with the people that we love on this earth. So
it's big. Matt Odey, don't go away. We're sticking you backstage.
Yeah, get your girlfriend to come on.
Drag her in. Talk to you
I'll
soon.
See if I can.
Bye. Hang on. Don't Look, go anywhere.
What's so great about the sausage? I'm it's so glad delicious. You asked.
It's delicious.
Oh, Sausage Appreciation Day coming up.
Yep. So the one you want to look for is the Better Cheddar. That one has cheese injected into it. What is better than sausage? Sausage with cheese juice
in
it.
I like the sausage strips.
That won't give anyone cancer. It's
oh
super
my God,
delicious.
Shut up. Stop it.
You weren't even here. There's not even any yellow cards for all the stuff I did before you
oh,
showed up.
Oh, Lord.
All right. I'm grabbing Ashley because we've got so much to do.
You know it's love when she's still there after coma breath. You know what I was thinking? Oh, my breath. You know there's somebody who's like, I almost died, and I promised myself that if I live, I'm going to dump whoever I'm with and go for someone better. Like, you know, there's been someone that said that, and I'm like, please don't be that guy, Matt. I would have just not mentioned it. You had to go there, but thankfully.
I had to ask.
Thankfully, it's actually a beautiful
story. It's a very
story.
Romantic story. Yes. So okay. Ashley's going to tell us beautiful stories because they're full of love and latex.
And balloons.
And air. Pink flamingos, Ashley. Follow up a cancer survivor, will you?
How do I do that?
It's about celebrating being alive, of course.
Right.
Yes.
You have Pink Flamingo Party Company. We've seen a lot of good old box store mall party shops. Why do we need a Pink Flamingo Party Company? What's the difference? School us up.
So thanks so much for having me. So Pink Flamingo Party Co. is a selection of curated party supplies. So everything from tableware to napkins to cups. And then the special part about us is that we do these over-the-top balloon art installations that have like hundreds of balloons. So it's a great way to have a Pinterest-worthy party. Something that's great that differentiates us from the big dogs is that all of our latex balloons are biodegradable and they're made in the USA. So, yeah.
Megan's here for it. She loves the Pink Flamingo Party Company.
Yes, Megan!
They have the cutest party stuff. Ashley's the best to work with.
Deb, it was Megan. Air. I feel like it was air, not hair.
Air, yeah, not hair. Okay. Sorry. But I might have just been so excited I breathed it out.
He is very brave. He is excited. Mm.
So
in 2020, when people couldn't really have in-person parties because, and even still now, they probably shouldn't. Was it like kind of a sort of replacement where you could get an awesome balloon thing and install it outside so everybody would know that you're celebrating? Or like, what were some ways that people were able to celebrate even though they couldn't do as big parties as they used to?
Yeah. So prior to the pandemic, we did mostly online orders of just party supplies. And we realized that we needed to pivot. Otherwise, you know, we weren't going to be around too much longer. And we created a huge balloon art garland, which is, you know, we sell the kits online. But I was like, let's create something in person for the town to celebrate all of the frontline workers and, you know, just to bring people joy and to keep people like up and excited. And so we did that huge display and it was picked up by a couple of local news stations and it really just took off from there. So everyone does the outside displays. It's super easy because they're contactless. We don't have to talk to you. We don't come into your home. They're outside. You know, we can drop it off at your door. You can install it yourself. It's super easy, or we'll install it for you. So it's a great way to spread joy and cheer and make your neighbors jealous.
People love your hair.
Evidently, you have hair fans here. Actually, what I want you to do.
Say anything about my hair.
Thank you.
I think Matt needs a ring like this. Can you rock that ring up to the camera for a second? That big old rainbow. Look at that.
Oh, I love it.
That is golden.
Yeah, this ring is from Marina Feeney. She's an artist out of Australia, and I got it at Style Me Pretty. It really speaks to my joy.
Oh, I'd be like, I punched somebody with a rainbow.
Is that why the rainbow's down under? It's, you know, yeah. I thought it was like it was, when Celtic people wear the...
a clotter ring?
The clotter ring
faces the right way. If you're, so she's available because the rainbow's facing you.
You're so weird.
Party company, like that is not something someone thinks they want to do when they're 7 years old. Like what was your work life like before this? What kind of weird gigs did you have or who did you think you might be?
I've had a lot of weird gigs. I've always loved parties. Like who doesn't love parties? Who doesn't like celebrating? And so my mom is super, super creative from a young age. She was always like creating these like tutus and bows and like super, super artsy. And my grandma like loved to plan parties. I went to Wagner College, home of the Seahawks, for microbiology. And I was like, this isn't it. And then I worked at an event planning company. I worked in advertising technology for a really long time. And I always did like events on the side. I always like planned events, worked with big event firms to do events. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own event company, which I did. And then so many people asked, they were like, can you plan my like kids' like party? And I was like, we don't really do that. We do like luxe events. And I was like, you know what? Like everyone wants to make their party Pinterest worthy, Instagrammable. Like that's why Instagram exists. We want to show off to our friends and we want to celebrate in a bold way. So that's when I started Pink Flamingo Party Co., which was fall of 2018.
Oh, so this is a pre-COVID business. I don't think I've even heard of those anymore.
Well, it did pivot. I mean, it did change. Like you were saying, you moved to doing a lot more of those kind of over-the-top balloon installations and things during COVID when people couldn't have big splashy events.
Yeah, our business definitely pivoted. I think pre-COVID, we were mostly in like the bachelorette market. So we did a lot of custom tumblers, like a lot of fun bachelorette gifts.
A lot of inflatable body parts, perhaps.
Maybe so straws. Funny. I don't know.
We don't get a lot of spam comments on the show, but we got one and it just says hello from your mom. And I'm like laughing inside because I make all kind of mom jokes with my
own kids. Yeah, we do. I like his swear words, too.
Oh, well.
He's got some good swear words, but sorry, they don't actually go to everybody when you blow your load like that all over our YouTube channel. We see it, though, so thank you. We love fans.
Thank you for that.
I was saying Matt's haters were coming, but I didn't know I was
guess it's actually. Ashley's haters.
Ashley's haters. They don't like balloons, I guess. Look at that right there. Do you see that? Did I actually put it up on screen?
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. Ooh, look. Now, did you take this photo and stuff? Is this like some pal of yours or like... Did you have to get models to do this?
No, this was at a styled shoot we participated in at the Wythe Hotel in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So if you see, it was a professional photographer. Thank you so much, Carol. Answering the questions now. Thanks, Julie.
That's pretty wild. That visual, like, you know what I really thought was just those very symmetrical, very typical kind of like rainbow strings of balloons. But this is not that. How did you learn how to do this? Because that doesn't just grow on trees.
Yeah. So the balloon community is actually, they are amazing. I started watching YouTube videos. They are, YouTube's free. And from there, I just started practicing. I started asking people questions. I'm a huge, huge fan of Facebook groups. I actually run a Facebook group with about 6,000, mostly women, trying to start or they have their own balloon business. So we collaborate a lot, ask questions, call each other. It's just practice. Practice makes perfect.
Oh, I like. Well, I'm
staring
guess
at it, the cake. Sorry,
I never noticed that. Actually,
that was the best cake I've ever had in my life.
Was it? What kind was it? I love.
What was almond. The flavor?
Almond? It was almond. It was the best cake I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Is that fondant on the outside?
It was. I don't know. It was just so good.
I love me some cake. I'm here for the cake. Get me whoever made that cake so I can bring them on the show.
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's do that.
Sarah, she's amazing.
So I was looking. Yeah, send me links. I love cake. I will talk about it all day. Everybody will be sick of it. Clearly. And the backpack show will end because we'll just talk about cake all the time. But see how some of the balloons are bigger and some of them are smaller? This is so stupid, but like it never would have occurred to me.
Me neither. That's what I'm saying.
Do. Yeah.
And now you see it. You can't unsee it.
Totally. Yes. How long do they last? Like once you put them up?
Yeah, so it really just depends. I mean, we like to say during the summer, which is where we get most of our, when we do most of our deliveries, they can last a day, a few days. I mean, I've had people say that they last weeks outside. Indoors, they last way longer. Like, I hoard balloons. It's an issue. And to the point where my mom's like, no, like we're popping these, like you don't need them. And I'm like, they make my heart happy. So
can we like relocate them? So if we have a party outside, when that's allowed again, can we like pick it up and move it back inside?
Yeah. People do that. People like have them inside and then, hang them outside. They're really, as long as it's not like the big over the top displays, if it's something smaller, you can move it. I'll come to your house, Carrie. We'll hook you up with some balloons.
And some cake.
Cake.
And some cake.
You're not coming through that front door without the cake. I did notice, and there are a few variants on this, and I guess it makes sense because it's parties and I'm just a weirdo. But like I did notice a sort of a propensity for bright, shiny colors. But, if I wanted to have a I'm all done with cancer party, maybe I'd go with all blacks and dark blues or something.
No.
I mean, is that even an option?
Whatever makes you happiest.
Whatever dark color makes make you happy. If you scroll all the way to the probably June on our Instagram, we actually did a display at the Connecticut State Capitol for Black Lives Matter. So it was all black balloons that said Black Lives Matter. So that was super awesome and, a great opportunity. So we do some black sometimes.
That is good to know.
So is your iFund Women still open for donations?
Yes. So we are currently fundraising through iFund Women. They have been so tremendous, such a help to our business. I was lucky enough to receive a Founders of Change Award with 99 other women and a $25,000 grant from American Express. So that has helped our business and given us, you know, so much runway in a time where Black women aren't seeing funding. So they're amazing. Check us out. If you want to support our business, you can definitely check out iFundWomen or you can support us on our website.
That was the one. I couldn't find it for a minute, but there we go.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
That's quite the building, by the way. I never saw that building.
I love me architecture as well. So I guess the perfect thing for me would be a cake of a really famous building with fancy architecture.
And balloons.
Of course, balloons.
Yeah. Let's get it. Are you got any plans to branch out? There's a guy that I heard of that he wants to make his house fly away. Like, do you think you could get that one going?
Didn't they myth bust that? Like, how many balloons it would actually take or something?
I don't know. Probably. Go ahead and ruin my life. Ashley, do you get involved in gender reveal parties? Or are you anti-gender reveal party?
Yes. Or what's the story? I'm not anti-gender reveal, although I'm really terrified to be involved in a gender reveal that goes wrong and, like, burns down the entire state.
So they won't be like, thanks, Pink Flamingo Party Company.
Like, ooh. But we did our first gender reveal. Yeah, I believe it was our first a couple weeks ago. And Ashley, she actually asked me, she was like, what do you think I'm having? And I was like, luckily I was like, Ashley, you know what she's having. Like, don't tell her. So I was very nervous. I was like, please don't talk to me. I didn't want to ruin the surprise.
You're going to do the reveal before the reveal? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, run away.
They kind of scare me because I'm like, you know.
Because you're bad at keeping secrets, apparently.
Yeah, I am.
It's good to know.
I know my faults.
Don't tell her anything secret.
Oh, thanks, me master. I'm so glad you like our show. All right. I'm going to grab us some Matt Odie because this is a pairing. Hey, Matt, welcome back, buddy.
Hello.
I think it's important to celebrate. Did you have some kind of, hey, no more cancer party? Have you had a few of those?
I actually did. About 6 months after, we had a party with about 200 people at my parents' house, and it was basically a celebration. So I was like, finally, you know, this shit's over kind of thing. And, you know, now we can get everybody to come celebrate, you know, and obviously, like, all my friends and family were drinking pretty heavily, but I was like, I'm going to take it easy on that part. But we probably could have used some balloons, Ashley. I love your – I literally was looking at your Instagram while they were too, and, you know, some really cool stuff. So
thank you so much. Well, you're 4 years cancer-free. I'm happy to send you a do-it-yourself kit, and we'll see what you create.
How fun.
Thank you.
Instagram it after, though. You have to Instagram it after. Those are the rules. I don't make them.
I'll Instagram it 100%.
I just follow them.
and Pinterest worthy. I mean, I barely mentioned Pinterest, but I'm sure Ashley thrives in Pinterest.
I love Pinterest.
Pinterest is totally still a thing, and I forget about it.
It is massive, and 78% women on Pinterest. 78%. So it's like the best.
Actually, I feel like you'd be more active on Pinterest then, Chris.
I use Pinterest every day.
You used it the other day?
I use it every day.
Every day.
But I use it for quotes. So Pinterest is, if you're ever looking for some solid quotes, go on Pinterest.
find the Matt Odie page. You'll be hooked right up. Hooked right up. Well, I think I almost forgot one whole ad read, which is if you are writing a book sometime soon, I think Matt and Ashley have a book in them.
I think so.
Pub-site.com. It'll take you just a couple hours. You get a 14-day free trial, and then it's $20 a month afterwards.
Set up your author website, promote yourself, promote your appearances when those are allowed again, your Zoom book signings, whatever, pub-site.com.
And have people request what color balloons they want to be represented by
at the party. If you absolutely won't build your own website, they can do it for you for $499, which is obscenely cheap.
I'll do it for you for $2,000.
You are ridiculous.
I know. All right. That's it. We did all our ad reads. Now I remembered. Okay. My wife's addicted to Pinterest. Yeah. I mean, it's, you can get lost in there. My only Pinterest activity ever was I collected a whole bunch of cool Batman art for a while in there, but I don't have anything to do with it, so it doesn't get handled.
I used to pin sessions for large events I was attending. Like, I would pin the sessions I wanted to go to if they didn't, because that was kind of before most of them had the technology to let you book your stuff. and I wanted to keep track of what I was going to go to and like not bother with the rest. So
now this is not the backpack question, but it did make me think of something about this is like, where do you spend most of your online time? Matt Odie, you first, where's your haunt online?
Yeah, it was Instagram for a while. And then obviously now it's been Facebook because of the cancer community. There's just an enormous community through Facebook groups. You know, if you're looking to, honestly, this might be a good example. If you're looking to start like some type of like community where you're the head honcho, you're the leader, start a Facebook group, go into those communities, go into Instagram hashtags, go into Facebook community groups, go into LinkedIn, go use all platforms, but really dive into the community so that you can get involved. And then as you get involved, more and more people are going to gravitate towards, you know, your Facebook group or whatever you want to create. So right now my time, energy, and attention is mostly on Facebook, but it's also Instagram as well.
And Ashley, you said you're doing kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. Facebook groups, like I tell everyone, if you want to know anything, go to a Facebook group. There's a Facebook group for it. I run one of the Facebook, let us know that I run one of the fastest growing Facebook groups right now. So if you want to learn about balloons, join Learning with Balloons. But Facebook is like my go-to. I'm there every single day, probably followed by our website, Shopify, because I'm always uploading new products.
Shopify is quite the creature. I've been exploring that professionally with a client right now, and it's there's a lot to do over there. There's a lot of things you can add and sort of subtract and make things happen. So it's a big deal. All right, I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
We're ignoring the YouTube comments.
There's a little comment war going on between a whole bunch of random people who have just showed up for entertainment value, and it's. I don't know.
It's not like, used to did it. You ever, if you ever read Mad Magazine, remember they had like those two secret agent crows, were they crows? One was black and one was
spy
white. And they would just like run through that. Yeah, spy versus spy. They would just run through the pages. That's what this is like, but in the YouTube comments, like spy versus spy.
Is that good for the algorithm, I hope, at least?
You know, it's a great question.
I don't know.
Great question. The algorithm, who knows?
Shopify is Canadian. Thanks, Carol. Carol is like our is it Canadian barometer. If yeah, somebody's well, Canadian, she'll jump right in.
My ex-wife's Canadian, and I swear they teach it to them in school or something. Like, you know, you could be talking about anything. You could be like, oh, those socks look like Canadians made those. You're like, how do you know? They're in a bag. Like, they're way across the... How do you even know that those are socks from way back there? She's like,
Canadian, but she knows. Yeah.
And every musical artist that was ever Canadian, even for a day. That's what...
Even for a day.
You know, I'm thinking about, Carrie, we have to do our person of the day.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Don't
Boy,
do it.
You know who I'm tempted to give to the person
Don't
of the day.
Don't you dare.
But you know who I'm going to give it to? A pal who I haven't seen in a very long time who dropped by to say hi. John Blue. John Blue is an agriculture guy. He does a media, Truffle Media, and he helps people in the agriculture world understand what's what and what's going on. I went to one of his conferences, and he introduced me to this couple, and he said to, this guy gave his wife like a cow as an engagement gift. And I was sort of like, huh? Like, that sounds like an awful engagement gift. And he goes, no. It's like giving her something that costs like $50,000 that spits out a whole bunch of $20,000 and $30,000 gifts every bunch of months. I said, oh, now that's a gift. So that's a biggie. Hi, Gaming with Junior. I feel like it's all one guy. He's
well,
one guy
got
with
some
eight
bad
YouTubes.
News for your girlfriend on behalf of the spammer in YouTube. Apparently, Matt, you're gay.
Well, hey, I hope it means I look good. I don't know. Whatever. It's all good.
Look at him spamming. That's so funny. We just never had this before.
Oh, man. I love it. I don't
we know. Did on Twitch. Like, we had our very first spam comment on Twitch. Hey, John.
Thank you, Avocado Fiance. That's the one. That's cool to know. All right, listen, we have one last thing, which is the backpack show question. This is a question we've asked every single guest from adult film stars to Sir Mix-a-Lot. What goes in your backpack? Could be something physical, like an avocado. Could be something metaphorical, like sisterhood. Carrie, what are some of your favorites? What's a good favorite physical one for you?
Extra set of teeth.
DJ Cummerbund, another New Yorker, by the way, an extra set of teeth. He also really likes pro wrestling, so I think that's why he got the idea for that. And how about something metaphysical? You ain't gonna ban me. I'm not banning you, you weirdo. I'm watching you be stupid.
That's I don't care enough about you to ban doing. You.
you're our entertainment. Dance, monkey, dance.
I don't care.
All right. Carrie, what's a good metaphysical one? Metaphysical.
Kindness.
Kindness. We're not telling you the story behind that. Okay.
The one thing that you need in your backpack to help you succeed while everything else is changing. That's sort of the idea.
Okay, Matt Odie, the world's shifting all around us. What goes in the backpack?
I'll go metaphorical. I'm going to go with hope, and it's an analogy, or it's it basically means help one person every single day. So hope, help one person every day. That's going in my backpack.
I'm into it. I'm so down for it. Roasted by Chris Brogan. Thanks, Dora. Ashley, what's something that has to go in your backpack?
I'm going to have to go bravery on this one. Owning your own business is not for the weak. So just got to stick through it, push through, especially in times like this. Trying times are for trying.
Trying times are for trying. Wow. I like that a lot. I've never heard it, so it's Ashley's forevermore. It's evermore. So I want to give special thanks to our interesting comment section today. That was entertaining.
Didn't see 99.9% of it, so.
It keeps spooling by, and I just keep, you know, giggling. But anyway, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was, very serious note. My grandmother passed from cancer. We've all had people who have suffered and died from cancer. We all have very close to us people. And we all, you know, one of the things we never want to hear in a doctor's office is something about that. And the one thing I can say was that, you know, before she passed, my grandmother would have loved our exit song. That's all I could tell you.